Welcome to the GeoMob Podcast, where we discuss geo-innovation in any and all forms, whether for fun or profit. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the GeoMob Podcast. Today, it's my pleasure to have as a guest Mike Busch. He spoke at GeoMob Berlin back in early June about his new venture, his new project, Vulcan Maps. So, very interesting talk, led to a lot of discussion afterwards at the drinks. And so I wanted to get him in here to give us an update on the project and tell us exactly what it is and so we learn a bit more about this kind of innovative work. Mike, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for speaking at GeoMob Berlin. And very good to have you here. So please introduce yourself. What is your background in geospatial? And then we're going to get right into Vulcan Maps.
Yes, thank you, Ed. And first, thanks for having me on your podcast. So my background is that I'm a software engineer. I have studied software engineering in Berlin and have graduated in 2006. And I have specialized in operating systems, so it has had nothing to do with graphics programming. But directly after graduating, I have started as a software developer in a geomarketing department of a major software company in Berlin. And I have been there for 15 years. And we have developed a desktop GIS. And I was involved, I can say, in four major business use cases. So one was a leaflet distribution for Deutsche Post. And another was branch planning for Deutsche Post. And we also made tour planning for DHL. And I was also involved with OpenStreetMap tile servers administration and building these servers. And all these projects, they are connected to a desktop JS.
Okay, so you got a lot of background then in OpenStreetMap and also geospatial services. So let's get into it, Mike. What exactly is Vulcan Maps?
Vulcan Maps arise from a sort of frustration that we have with this GIS, and that was simply it was very slow. So we have seen 3D graphics games that were amazingly fast, but the GRS took seconds to just draw the map, and that was really frustrating and not understandable. How is that possible to be so slow, and on the other side, that games are just amazingly or blazing fast? So that's why I had the idea to build a rendering engine for a desktop GIS that is based also on graphics cards. And that idea is something like 10 years old. And so about 10 years ago, I started with that project. And it started as a general purpose rendering engine, but it evolved rather fast into a rendering engine that is just for OpenStreetMap. So the idea was at the beginning, if I can render OpenStreetMap, it should be a rather good rendering engine, but later I have switched completely to OpenStreetMap.
So that's an interesting observation. You're absolutely right. Video games are very, very fast. And so I guess the issue is just that these video games have been very, very optimized to take advantage of all the power and speed of the computer to create a visual display, and the maps haven't. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes. So from a today's perspective, also I already heard 10 years ago that that video cards are not suited for 2D graphics. And I must say 10 years ago, I didn't understand why. But from a today's perspective, I can really say classical graphic cards have been made for 3D graphics, also that renders pictures. Also, you believe that you see a very high geometrical picture, but indeed, this 3D graphics is just an illusion of high details. Indeed, they are rendering big triangles that on that textures are overlaid, and you have an illusion of very high detail. So that's how classical graphic cards worked. And that they are not very good suited to render highly detailed, so it's not an illusion of details, but really highly detailed maps. And that's why at this point in time, we did not have a solution for rendering maps with graphics card. But, so that was the classical point, these graphic cards evolved as today. We can use graphic cards for AI, that is the most popular topic today. So how is it possible from a general perspective that the graphics card is able to make AI, because it has evolved into a general purpose computing engine that is amazingly powerful, I can say, because how it is built. But also with that evolution, it became possible to render highly detailed, for example, maps.
Okay. Right. Okay. So there's a lot to unpack here, Mike. So first of all, you've been working on this for 10 years. So I want to get into all the various steps along the way. But I guess first, as a high-level summary for our listeners, so if I understand correctly, Vulkan Maps is a software that will run, you know, enables me locally on my machine to run, to use the full power of the graphics rendering to render OpenStreetMap locally very quickly.
Exactly.
Okay. And originally, I guess it was just a software, but now you've also turned this into a business. So we should talk about that as well. But first, for the benefit of listeners who maybe are not deep in this world, maybe we should first go through kind of a very, very high level overview of how exactly maps are displayed right now. And the reason I say this, because frankly, I'm one of those people. I know OpenStreetMap. I've contributed to OpenStreetMap, but you know, the actual technology of how the map is displayed is always something I've never really gotten deep into. So I can remember, of course, at the very beginning, you know, we had these tiles, right? So basically, if I understand correctly, the, you know, someone somewhere on a server makes actual images. And, yes. And we have these billions of tiles, and then basically the software is just loading these tiles, and these are just kind of static images.
Yes.
Okay. And that obviously was a big step forward, but it has a big negative in that the tiles need to constantly be recreated and can get out of date and things like that. But then now we have a new technology over the last couple of years, these vector, so-called vector tiles. So where, if I understand correctly, the data is being loaded by my computer and then it's being rendered to a degree locally. So how is that different than what you're doing with Vulkan Maps?
Also, Vulkan Maps is a vector renderer. So it takes, indeed, I just want to make a little step back. You have talked about tiles, but when you think technologically, also every tile is made out of vector data, but not on your local machine, but on, as you said, on a server machine. Okay. So every map that you see as a user must at some place be generated out of vector data. So also OpenStreetMap is vector data, and the picture is rendered for you on a server, And then the final rendering result, that is just a picture, is downloaded to your machine and is shown on your machine. The difference with vector tiles is now not a server is rendering the picture for you, but the data is down, as just the data where you are right now on the map is downloaded to your machine, and your machine is rendering the map. But okay. The big advantage that this picture is not static anymore because it's rendered on your local machine. So your local machine can say, I want to have the streets a little bigger or just some little different color or a different style or a different coordinate system or whatever. So at the end, the only difference is that the renderer is either running on a server or is running locally on your machine. And with Vulkan Maps, it's very similar to vector tiles, but it's also a little more general because so OpenStreetMap consists of three kinds of geometries. We have points, lines, and polygons. But when you make vector tiles out of it, you have something like a layer, like water areas, or poise, or roads. So the geometry is still a polygon in a water layer, but this very general perspective from points, lines, and polygons was transformed into layers, and that is downloaded to your machine. And the difference for Vulkan Map is now that it is still having a database that are just points, lines, and polygons. And from that database, Vulkan Maps can apply almost any style to that data and make a map out of it. And that is not possible with vector tiles, because vector tiles are already tailored somehow to a specific style. So that you are a little more bound to a predefined style with vector tiles.
Got it. Okay. Thank you for that overview. So who would this type of application be useful for? What is the main use case? I'm presuming, given that you said that you worked on things like applications for Deutsche Post or whatever, is that kind of who you see as kind of the user of this technology?
Yes. As there is an advantage for tiles too. So they are very fast, but you are sticked to what you get. But if you do not want to be sticked to predefined pictures, Vulkan Maps is what you might want to have. You are very free, as with vector tiles, you are very free what the map will show you. You can blend out something, you can change the font size, you can change the style in general, you can make it grayscale or whatever you want. You can just show the map how you want it exactly in that point in time, and you're not sticked to predefined tiles that had someone else rendered for you. And that might be interesting for a lot of parties. Also, one is Deutsche Post. Also, from my background, I know that these businesses let's say, for example, Deutsche Bahn business. So they have their lines, their they do not want the original OpenStreetMap. They want OpenStreetMap without the railroads, because the railroads they have for themselves. So that is a very nice use case for Vulkan Maps, because you do not want the exact OpenStreetMap, you want it with a slightly change.
Got it.
And on top of that, you can much better show your specific business without disturbance of other stuff in the map that you don't really want to show.
Got it. Okay. Right. So take us through the journey then of creating this. I mean, you said you've been working on it for 10 years. Is that
yes,
because you've been waiting for the hardware to get good enough? Like, obviously, computers have gotten much faster. And as you say, the GPUs, these graphical processing units, have there's been huge advancements in the last year, or so, or what take us on that journey.
Yeah, indeed. It was much more challenging than I expected 10 years ago. Also, I just
it always started, is, Mike. It always is.
With some blind eyes, and I believed maybe in a few years, 2 or 3 years, I might have something useful. But it already starts what already half of the job what I have done was data preparation, surprisingly. So it's not only the engine, but the engine needs some data that is suitable for the engine, and that's already half of the job to prepare these OpenStreetMap data. Yeah, and also the possibilities for this graphics card has really evolved. So that starts from somewhere else. So Vulkan Maps is based on the Vulkan Graphics API.
Is that where the name comes from?
Yes. So you may have heard about OpenGL, but OpenGL today is considered deprecated because now we have Vulkan. So that is the new graphics API. It was originally developed by AMD, where it was called Metal. And from that proprietary idea of how to speak with graphics card in a better way, Vulkan has evolved 2 years later after Metal. So, and that was exactly in 2016, and that was exactly the point in time where I have started with Vulkan Maps. So I have indeed waited a few months for this new API to arrive, and then I have started with implementing everything. Yeah, and there's also something inside of Vulkan that emerged 3 years ago, I think. That is also a very nice advancement in flexibility of rendering. That is the so-called mesh shaders. So we have a classical rendering pipeline with vertex shaders and geometry shaders and these things. And it was invented from OpenGL. But since 3 years, we have this pipeline has bound you, has given you a lot of constraints. What and how to render, and this new mesh shading model is very like a compute model that opens up. So you can say you can render everything what is computable. I can say, and that was really also a game changer for me, and I have immediately switched. For something like 6 or 7 years, I have implemented against the old API, but something like 3 years ago, I have switched to this new mesh shading. And now the whole rendering engine is based on this mesh shading technology.
The people that I know that work on the cartography around OpenStreetMap, you know, the rendering of the maps, one of the big challenges is, of course, OpenStreetMap has so many different things in it, you know, and they have to figure out, someone has to figure out for every different type of thing, how are we going to make it look, how much space are we going to give it and things like that. I mean, did you have to do all of this, or how did you, you know, did you reuse some of the traditional, can you build upon the work of the other previous technologies, or, you know, how did you approach that?
So how the map does look at the end is a matter of the style definition. So there is a style that is called OpenStreetMap Kato. Okay. That is just a bunch of layers and style definitions. Each layer is defined with an SQL statement. So let's say there is a layer like trees must be visible in the map. So you have something like a select from point table their kind like tree, something like that. Yeah. So you have by that you define a layer of or you collect the trees, And in the style then comes something like, if the zoom level is 18, then draw it with a radius of 20 pixel. Or if the zoom level is 17, then draw it with a little fewer pixels, and so on. So the style is given, and Vulkan Maps is using that exact style. And automatically transforms it into GPU code that emulates or semantically does exactly the same what is defined in the style. So just rewriting that style is a matter of years work. Also, there are so many volunteers that are changing the style all the time.
Right.
So, and I must really say, it is thousands, 10,000 lines maybe long or longer. So, and I have never read the whole style because also it was not needed for me. I have built just something like a compiler that can take this style and transforms it into graphics card code.
Okay, that the graphics now I get card it.
Then can execute it. And that's why one strength of Vulkan Maps is really that it is very close, also almost exactly the same as the original OpenStreetMap.
Okay, so because, I understand.
But
in theory, so if I wanted to, I could use my own style. I could bring my own style, and then Vulkan Maps would render it in whatever style I want for my business or my use case. So is that right?
Yes, in theory. Also, there have been little things to do manually, so not everything is totally automated yet. But in theory, yes, you are right. And that was really a design decision to make it like that. And that's why I also have not chosen these vector tiles format, but I still have a database like the original OSM with just points, lines, and polygons.
I see. Okay, so what is the current status of the project? Because when you presented in June, basically you said, okay, the technology is ready, but you know it still seemed you're still kind of getting it out the door. You didn't have a website at that time, but now you do have a very nice website, which of course we will link in the show notes. So also you've turned this also into a business. So tell us where is the project right now?
Yeah, as of today, it's still a preview. So, but I'm quite sure that it will be a final product this year, but I can't promise when it will really happen. So I already, as you said, I have already created a website. Vulkan Maps can already download it from there, but it is officially a preview.
Okay, but your goal is that you turn this into a business? Is that?
Yes,
website, I see pricing and things. So
yes, also, it was never a hobby. So I always wanted to make it a business out of it. Although it took very long this hobby journey, but it was always clear for me that at the end it should never be open source. Maybe at some time before I die, I don't know, maybe I make it open source, I don't know. But right now, so it was always intended to be a business.
Okay. But the software is available. Can people test it somehow? Should our listeners go to the website and start playing with it? Or what's the current status?
Yes, it is a preview, but you can really test it. Also, I just don't want to claim that that it is never crashing or these things. So it's a preview, it's beta, it's downloadable, and it's already usable like an almost complete software. Also,
gotcha.
I just can't say I'm ready because it isn't. But it's almost ready. And whoever is interested in this technology can already have a look into it and try it out.
Okay. Very good. So what's next now for Vulkan Maps? I assume you move out of preview mode into kind of operational mode? Is that the...
Yes, of course. Also, that's my primary goal. Make it ready. And after that, also Vulkan Maps is available for desktop now. So, and after I made it ready for the desktop, I want to make it ready also for the browser. So that are my two primary goals. But first, it must be ready.
Well, okay.
It must deliver its main promises. And it's the main, I have two main promises for Vulkan Maps, and that is performance and precision. So that are my two main goals. And
but surely, one question in that regard with performance. I guess, obviously, because the rendering is happening locally on my machine, the performance will depend on the power of my machine. So what type of hardware do I need? I mean, I need like a super advanced laptop or something, or what? Will this work on normal hardware? Or
Also I think today I can say it is already normal. So it, as I said, Vulkan Maps is based now on mesh shading hardware that is able that is ready for this advancement in rendering, and NVIDIA RTX graphics card is already possible. As any NVIDIA RTX graphics card can render these maps. Today they have the 50 generation. 2 years ago was out the 40 generation. Another 2 years ago was 30, and another 2 years ago was the 20 edition. So the 20 X or RTX graphics card is more than 6 years old. So that's why I say, yeah, today's normal hardware that I believe is at least an RTX 20 is able to render this map.
Okay. Well, I know at the event in Berlin, you brought along your laptop and you were giving us a demo at the hub, and it was really quite slick, zooming in, zooming out, very, very, very impressive. So I definitely encourage all listeners to who are working in this space to give it a try, play with it, send you feedback. Of course, we wish you luck on getting it to production status. Looking forward a little bit more in general, not just at Vulkan Maps, but what kind of predictions do you have about kind of map rendering going forward? I mean, you're someone who's worked in this space for many, many years, so I'm sure you must have ideas. What can we expect? You know, if we look forward 5-10 years, is it going to be, you know, are maps just going to be, you know, exploding with speed and things like that, or what do you think?
So what we already see in the past years is the switch from tiles to vector,
right?
And that development was possible because users have the hardware to render it on their local machine. And what comes on top of that now, since a few years, is just AI. So, and what I expect with maps is that you can highly interact with them using AI. So you can simply say your AI, I don't know, please show me some very nice restaurants, and the AI can talk to the engine, and this engine will just highlight these restaurants or any other use cases. This is what I expect, and it's only possible with an engine that can immediately change the map how it looks like. So this is what I expect.
Well, we will see, Mike, because obviously that's I work on geocoding with our search search in the, and there are some challenges still there, so let's see. I think we're still quite a long ways away, but on the other hand, of course, we have made a lot of progress in understanding human speech, human meaning over the last couple of years. So it's an exciting time. I mean, we're seeing a lot of innovation at every level. So
yes, you're right.
So I guess the only thing we can commit to is that people should keep coming along to GeoMob, and we'll keep presenting the new developments as they come about. So, all right, Mike, thank you very much for coming on the show. Very cool to see the innovation happening. I encourage everyone to check it out. Any final thoughts you want to leave the listeners with? And of course, please tell us, how should people best get in touch with you if they want to learn more or ask you some questions?
Yeah, thank you very much, Ed. So the best way to get in touch with me, I think, is via LinkedIn, Or if you want to check out Work on Maps, just visit workonmaps.de. There you can download. It's a very little program that you can run in just a minute, and a free tier to test it out is also available, so everyone can test it and see what it delivers.
Okay, thanks very much, Mike. Appreciate it. See you at the next GeoMob.
Thank you very much, Ed. Bye bye.
Thanks for joining us today on the GeoMob podcast. We hope you enjoyed the discussion. You can get the show notes over on the website, which is at thegeomob.com. And while you're there, you can sign up for our monthly newsletter and find links to our accounts on Mastodon and LinkedIn, so that you can stay up to date on all our upcoming events. We hope to see you at an event soon.